Oh, it's 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress. Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. As always, you know, it's an honor and it's a privilege to come on this radio broadcast, boy, and share with such distinguished men and such distinguished women, boy, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, boy, the love of God. That's what this is all about. You know, if you tune in to this broadcast, boy, you know, as I always say, man, this family talk here, you know, I call it the greatest story that's ever been told. You know, it's his story, you know, not the history of man, but God's story, his story. You know, there are a lot of stories, and then there are his story. There's a lot of histories, and then there's his story. You know, the original history, you know, the history of God, you know, not so much as what we say about God, but what God has said about us, that history. And listen, you know, thank God for what we say about him and our representation of him and the best that we do. But boy, I'm talking about something far greater than that. Man, I'm talking about what we say about him. I'm talking about, boy, what he say about us. So if you tune into this broadcast, you know, it's our Father in heaven, man, summoning us, boy, to come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past the sanctuary, all the way into his very presence. That's his greatest desire. That's what he wants more than anything else, and that's the fellowship with his children. He just want to love on mankind. And he wants mankind, boy, to love him. That's the whole objective of everything. It's a great big love affair. It's a love of a father for his children. And I'm talking about this love that the father has for his children. This love is unconditional. I'm talking about, let me say it again, this love is unconditional. It's one love, you know, and it's unconditional. It don't matter what, boy. I'm talking about can't nothing separate us from this love of God. That's why I say it's the greatest story that's ever been told. It's the love story, the story of how much God loved man so much. And all that he done through man through time, through the history of man, his history of man, not man's history of man, but his history of man. All the way down through time. In fact, it was all the way before the foundation of the world, really. You know what? He's been getting to reveal it to us, boy, in the beginning. When I say in the beginning, excuse me. when I say in the beginning, I'm just talking about this, and not just in the beginning when God created the heaven and the earth and mankind. There are a lot of beginnings. That's just one of the beginnings. Hallelujah. See, he's the Alpha and Omega. He don't have no beginning. He don't have no end. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. And boy, this everlasting to everlasting that he is, boy, he want to reveal that to his children. You know why he want to reveal that to his children? Because in this everlasting that he is, hey, boy, there's an everlasting for you, too. Listen, let me just say this before we get into the message of what God has for us today, you know, before we pray. You know, God is an eternal being. He's from everlasting to everlasting. You got to know that. He don't have no beginning. He don't have no end. And I want you to imagine this. You know, let me just paint a picture to help you understand what I'm trying to say to you. You know, imagine God going down, driving down the highway of eternity. No beginning, no end. Just going from everlasting to everlasting with a purpose, with a desire in this everlasting to everlasting. And he going driving down the road to everlasting on his way to a fulfillment of a purpose, well, that he has. And all of a sudden, he come to a stop. And he stopped, and he looked to the right, looked to the left, man, and looked behind him, man, and then he looked forward, and man, then he started back off again. He stopped just for a moment, and then he started right, and then he accelerated and started right on back onto the road of everlasting. And he just kept going forever and ever and ever and ever. See that time when he stopped, that moment when he stopped, that's time, if I can say it in that way to help you understand. All time is an interruption in eternity. Just a small little spot, a small little moment, a small little interruption in eternity. It's like I say, going down the highway, and then he stopped, and then he looked to the right, left, and then go ahead on about his business. That little stop there, that's what time is. And when God created you and I, he created you and I and placed us in time. Let me read some scriptures to you. In Genesis chapter 1, listen at this. Genesis chapter 1, verse, what's that, 14. And God said, now you did in the beginning, you know, this is, as I always tell you, these are the two perfect chapters in the Bible. You know, this is the beginning of God's creation on the earth. You say in verse 14, you say, and God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from night, and let them serve as signs and marks and sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to keep the light on it. Let me read that to you in the King James Version. That was in the NIV. But just let me read this something to you in the King James Version. You know, what we've been talking about on this broadcast, you know, is the season. Since we've been in a season and we just come through, you know, a Christmas season, what we know it as, now we're into a new year, you know, is a season too. And, you know, it's something that's very important for us that the body of Christ, the mighty men and mighty women of God, to know what the times and the seasons. Hallelujah. Let me just read this to you right quick, and then we're going to get into it. And God said, King James Version, verse 14, Genesis chapter 1, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Listen, we're talking about time and season and how important it is for us to know the time and the season, for us to know what time it is and what seasons are. You know, we got just got to celebrating the Christmas season, you know, and that's a season, you know. Eternity, you know, like I told you, it's from everlasting to everlasting. And in eternity, boy, there's a small interruption called time. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, that I was reading to you, you know, in this time, then God created, boy, days and hours and months and years and an ongoing period, an ongoing time. It's measured by seconds, minutes, you know, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, you know. And it's an ongoing period, you know. It's a passing period that's steady passing. That's what time is, you know. Hey, listen, you know, this is a new year, you know, and time is steady going on. It's a passing period. Old year gone. Everything is still passing on. And in this time, that this passing time, there are seasons. You know, there are different kinds of seasons. You know, there are literal seasons. You know, like in if you read in Genesis chapter 8, they say after God had destroyed the flood, he say, listen, I ain't going to do this no more. And then he say, as long as the earth remain, there shall be seed time and harvest time. And, you know, in days and years and seasons. And in this time, there's a lot of time, there's ongoing time, there are different seasons in the time. And what a season is like a defining moment in time, an appointed period in time, in which God deal with people, mankind, in a particular way. And depending on what time it is that mankind live in and how God is dealing with mankind, at that time, then it's very important, man, that everybody know what time it was that they were living in and how God was dealing with mankind in that time. Some people in the Bible, you know, and there's a you know, little controversy about that, you know, dispensations. But dispensation, all dispensation is different seasons in the history of mankind, of God dealing with mankind. And in order for us to really understand the time, you know, when David got ready to in the time when David was born, you know, and David was getting ready to become king of Israel, boy, he was going to take Saul's place, and that was controversy about that. Saul didn't want to give up his throne. In fact, he gave it to his son, and all that controversy about that. But then when all the people began to gather with David to put David, make David king of Israel, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it says in verse 32, it says, and the sons of Issachar, who had, man, you know, great leaders, and they had an understanding of the time so that Israel might know what to do. They joined forces with David in making David king of Israel because they understood what the time and the season. It was a season for them to pick a king, so they picked Saul. Now, boy, it's another season. Saul is, but his reign is over with. And now, boy, God's going to pick this king. And God already picked him. You know the story. He picked a man, you know, when Samuel went to Jesse's house and picked out the one, you know. So it was already, man, you know, ordained that he'd be king. And when it came time for him to take his place as king on the throne, then, boy, all the people gathered together with him to make him king. And then this, all the people that were joining together with him and different nations around him, and the son of Hezekiah had an understanding of the time and the season. They knew something. They knew that Jehovah God was with David. Even though, boy, you know, Saul had his army against David, and people tried to kill David and everything else, boy, them people had an understanding of the time. They knew something. They knew it was David time. They knew that from God. They knew it was David time to reign. They knew it was that God was with David. And it was this time to take over the king, because they understood a season. Why? Because God was going to set up a kingdom through David, there was going to be a model of his kingdom that he set up on the earth. You know, and David came and David reigned, and David fought many battles. But all the battles that David fought, he never lost one. All of that, the Bible says he routed all the enemies. I mean, boy, I'm talking about, boy, every battle that David fought, he won. Until there was no more enemies to fight, man. And that's when they rested in the city of Jerusalem. That was a season. That was a defining moment in this ongoing time that God was dealing with a people, boy, in a particular way. Under an assigned responsibility. So what God was doing, God was establishing a model of his kingdom on the earth through David. And them guys had an understanding of the time and the season. They knew what season it was. You know, they're probably more, you know, but I'm going to share with you, you know, the seven seasons of the history of mankind to help you understand and come to the knowledge of, so that we might, as we go into year 2024, that we might understand, you know, the time and the season, so that we might know what time it is and the season that we live in. Why? So that we might know what we ought to do. So that we might know how to go forth in this new year, man, and be productive and grow in the knowledge of who we really are and what we have and what we can really do and what this thing is all about, you know. I mean, grow in the knowledge of that. How are my boy going past the gates of thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past the sanctuary, all the way back into the presence of the Most High God. Everything, boy, is a means to that end right there. Because listen, at the end, when it's all said and done, that's what it's going to be. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. We're going to be just like Adam and Eve started off, man, you know, in that first season of time in the history of man, that God was dealing with man. Listen, there's a time, man, in eternity. Remember, I'm telling you now, in this interruption in time, you know, this interruption in eternity that we call time that you and I live in. I mean, got to understand something, man. Before he stopped, before there was time, in between that, see, that eternity past, that's the time, man, when God was doing that way. That's way before us. That's when God created the angels. You know, that's in eternity. But that's in eternity past. And then he stopped in eternity and then created time. And then after time, man was through, then he went on, man, all the way into, kept on going, like I say, into eternity forever and ever and ever. No more time, no more interruption, man, no more. And man, let me tell you something, boy, in that time that he placed you and I in that first period of history that he was dealing with mankind, he set up a kingdom on the earth. That's why I always tell you, boy, you know, Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is, boy, the most important part that you can understand and get the revelation of the Bible. Because in those two chapters, God showed you the end from the beginning. He showed us, boy, you know, the way you do anything. If you're going to start something, man, if you're going to start a race or a destination or a destiny or a place to get to, man, you know, first you know where the place is. You find out where the place is. Then where the destination is. And then, man, you start on your course toward that destination. You get in your vehicle and you start going toward that destination. But you got to know the destination first. Just like when the races, when people are in a race, before they start the race, they set the end first. They set the destination first. And after they set the destination, then they back all the way up to the starting line, and then they say, "Oh, you're marked, get set, go." And then, boy, they take off to a boy. Their finish line. And listen, because they know where the finish line is already, then, you know, then they run in lanes, and they stay in their lanes. Why? Because they know where they're headed. They know the destination. And because they know the destination, man, they could train and prepare and get ready and run the race, man, according to boy, their skills and their ability. Why? Where they headed toward a destination, and they know where they headed. They know there's a season to start, and they know that there's a season to finish. There's a time to start, and then there's a time to finish the race. And boy, that's what God done in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He showed us the finish line first. What's the finish line? And listen, and God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness. And let them have dominion. Over what? Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything. You know the story. Everything over all the earth. Everything creep on the earth. The heaven belong to me, the earth going to be their territory. And let them be fruitful and multiply and subdue and replenish, you know, the earth. And then God, man, planted an environment, an atmosphere on the earth. And in that atmosphere and in that environment, Lord, you know, that's where he placed the man, in his presence. And from there, boy, they begin to fellowship and commune, man, and start the race, boy, on their way to the destination. What's the destination? Let's make man in our image and in our likeness. And let them have dominion over the earth. Let them be ruled over the earth. Let them be kings over the earth. Let them, man make earth a colony of heaven. Let it be in their territory just like it is in my territory. And let them have authority and power and control and influence and under my governing influence to accomplish that, boy, in their territory on the earth. That's in Genesis, man, you know, chapter 1. That's in the creation of mankind. That's the beginning of the creation of mankind. They call a period in time when God was dealing with mankind. Man and mankind was innocent. I mean, no unbroken fellowship, no sin, no rebellion, none of that. Boy, with God and his family, boy, that's all in Adam, all mankind that was in Adam, walking and talking in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that, man, living in the presence of the Most High God? Abiding there. Not just going in and out, you know, and I just still a little something here now and then, but I'm talking about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. Well, that's how God started it out. That's how God started out the race. That's how God was dealing with mankind in that season, in that time in mankind's history, in this ongoing passing thing that we call time. What happened in there? God set up his kingdom on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Let me say it in a different way. God set up his governing influence on this earth. He set up, boy, you know, his desire, his intent, his will on the earth. And the governing influence of heaven, you know, his governing influence, not the governing influence of mankind, not human government. I'm talking about God's government, the way God governs things, his way of doing things. His governing influence, his government on the earth. He set that up on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And boy, gave mankind work. Work means to become. Work. Become everything that I say you are. What he said that he is, you just like me. You created my image and my life. And you have power and control and influence. That's dominion. That's the right to dominate, to manage, to control, to have power and influence and authority over, or not people, or over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over everything that creeps upon the earth, over all the earth. I give you governing influence. I give you the this is your territory. Now, what's your assignment? Hey, I want you to rule this territory under my governing influence. Hallelujah. So why? So that, boy, it can be in your territory just like it is in my territory. So God planted a little garden. And in that garden, boy, was a carbon copy. The atmosphere and the environment that was in that garden was a carbon copy, boy, of the kingdom of heaven, the invisible kingdom, boy, that God lived in, the atmosphere and the environment of that. That's what that garden was. And God placed mankind in that place, in that comfort, in that perfect environment, and in that perfect circumstance, situation, symptom. No devil, no demon, no unbroken fellowship. And boy, it was God and his children. And boy, what did he say, man? What? Become what? But see this little environment that you're in, that I place you in, boy, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth, boy, so that this little environment right here, boy, will cover the earth. So it might be on the whole earth. Not just on this spot that I in this garden that I put you in, but that the whole earth may be a garden of Eden. That the whole earth, hallelujah, might be filled with the glory of God. With the presence of God, man. And God walking and talking with his children in the cool of the day, man, unbroken fellowship. No sin, no devil, no demon, no rebellion. Now, can you imagine, boy, that? Heaven on earth. Hallelujah. God set that up. That's his history. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about the history of God. I'm talking about what he's doing. I'm talking about what we're doing for him. Thank God for the thing that we do for him and all our sacrifice and everything else and all that. That's all fine and dandy, but I ain't talking about that, but that's a good thing, what we can do for him. But I'm telling you about a great thing. What's that, boy? What he done, and what he will continually do for us for all eternity. Our eyes ain't seen and our ears ain't even heard, boy, the thing that God has in store for us. And the main reason for it is because we didn't understand the season and the time. Hallelujah. Well, God set up that season, boy, and that was the two perfect chapters in the Bible. The only two perfect chapters in the Bible. And that's the beginning of the history of man. You know the story, mankind fell, and man, you know, and the way God was walking and talking and dealing with Adam and Eve in that day and time, man, they rebelled against the known will of God. And they found themselves separated from God and put out of that environment. And from the fall of Adam all the way to Noah, from Genesis chapter 3, you know, verse 8, all the way through Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and that comes out to about 1,656 years, you know, is the period in time where God is no longer dealing with Adam and Eve the way he was in the garden. They was innocent. Out in the wilderness, they got to make it on their own. They declared independence from God. Now they got to make it on their own. They got to lean on their own understanding and their own conscience. Why? Because they had a conscience now. They knew right from wrong. They ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They knew right from wrong. So God can no longer deal with a man as innocent no more. Because they guilty of rebelling against God. So now God can't deal with them in that way no more. Now he has to deal with them in another way. It's a new season now that God is dealing with mankind. And you know something? In every season, you got to change with the season. Just like in the literal season. You know, when the wintertime comes, you don't wear your bathing suit and your swimming trunks and go down to the beach. No, because that's not the season for that. You know, when the wintertime comes, you change. Now, when the summertime comes, you can do that. You know, you don't want to wear your mink in the summertime either. Why? Because that's different season. And in different seasons, you know, we got to change with the seasons. We got to go with the seasons. In the first season, man, it was God and his children, unbroken fellowship. It was heaven on earth. It was the kingdom of heaven on earth. It was, boy, God's governing influence, man, through mankind on earth. And God lost that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when the devil came and deceived them, and God promised them something. He said, listen, you know, you didn't disrupt this season that I was in with my children and walking and talking with my children, this good time and this fellowship that I had with my children. You didn't interrupt that season, but I promised you something. The seed of that woman that you deceived, hey, I'm going to come through her. and I'm going to restore this season back to my children. And that's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's the first announcement of Christmas. Go and warn the devil, baby. Hey, listen, you think you've done something. But that same woman, boy, going to have her child, her seed, her offspring, going to bruise your head, going to take your authority from you. Hey, and then, man, he kind of go out and live in the wilderness now. Man, no longer answer. He got to live according to his conscience now because he's no good and evil. He's no right or wrong. And, boy, man, but he without God. And in that period of time, man, mankind out there in the wilderness living without God on the inside of them the way it was in the Garden of Eden, man, isn't God showed us in that period of time the consequences of life without God is destruction. The Bible says man's conscience got so seared that he couldn't even, man, listen, he repented God that he had even made man to where his way was only wicked and evil and violence was in it, man. Nothing but destruction. Till he repented God that he made man. And God wiped man off the face of the earth, except for Noah and his family, eight people. For I said, boy, God, and man, he had already started something in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And let me say this while I'm right here. I don't care what the devil did. I don't care what Adam and Eve did. They disobeyed and everything else. Boy, there's a law in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, called a law of life. What's that, Arthur? Hey, boy, what the king say, go. Hey, Lord, say that again, brother. Boy, in the kingdom of God, what the king say, go. And listen, more, what the king say, let's make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion. Hey, let me tell you something. I don't care what no devil done, no, can't alter that. He can't stop that. He can't stop that, what the king said. And boy, the king can't alter the word that gone forth out of his mouth. Boy, if he spoke it, boy, it coming to pass. If he said it, he going to do it. If he spoke it, it's coming to pass, man. Even if it take a trillion years, because why? He don't live in time. A trillion years to him is a moment. Oh, Lord. Why? Because he already know, man, the destination. He already set the destination first. And he know that, man, you know, boy, like I told you, boy, this ongoing period of time that we live in, man, that's measured by moments and days and weeks and years and all that, man, you know that one day that's going to come to an end, too. Like I told you, he stopped for a moment, boy, then after he stopped, then he took on back off again and kept on going. He never stopped no more after that, boy. Kept on going on into eternity. Right now, you and I are living in time, and when you understand the time and the seasons, then you know what you ought to do and how to live in your season. Instead of just singing that song, this is my season, you will know your season. You just won't be stirred up or emotionally stirred up, man, by the song, but you will know your season. And you understand your season. So why, what purpose? So you know how to live your life. Hallelujah. What? How to live your life, what? The way God intended for you to live. The Bible says the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, boy, that God kind of life that God created you to live. Jesus said, but I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. I came to get you that life back. I came to get you that life back, that boy, that God started in you. Boy, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, I come to bring that season back to you. That's the season that he came in. That's the season that you and I live in. Hey, listen, boy, before I go there, but just let me finish and tell you about the God's history down through the mankind time and the season in which God was dealing with man in each one of those periods of time or defining moments or appointed time in history. And you got to understand this, man. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God set up his kingdom on earth. His will, his intent, his desire, his purpose for mankind's life. And in Genesis chapter 3, he lost it. He lost his family. His family lost their man, they alive, their dominion, their authority, their power. They gave it over to the devil. The dominion that God gave them to make it on earth like it is in heaven. They gave that ability, that dominion over to the devil. And instead of being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. You don't want to know what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is? That's this world that we live in right here now. It's good and it's evil. Instead of being more on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. That's the results of Adam and Eve eating off the tree and the knowledge of good and evil. Instead of us ruling and reigning and walking and talking and going in the cool of the day and it's on earth like it is in heaven, man, it's on earth like it is here now. That's the knowledge of good and evil. Listen, boy, that after mankind's conscience got so bad, man, and he knew right from wrong, but he just continued to go and make the decision to do wrong to war, boy, I'm talking about. And listen, he motivated and influenced by not just himself. Listen, without God, man can't make it. Can't do nothing but man fall prey, man, to the circumstance, situation, and influence and symptoms that's impacting his life. Why? Because he's separated from God. He no longer, boy, God no longer living on the inside of them no more. What you saying, Arthur? Trying to help you understand more time and seasons. And listen, that was in that the time and season that God was dealing with mankind in the dispensation of Genesis, that was with Adam. The main character was Adam and Eve, you know. And listen, in that dispensation, they didn't have no children yet. Then in the second period of time, man, after the fall, and they living according to their conscience now, then, boy, it got so bad to a world, like you say, that's where the flood came. Then when the flood came, man, God wiped them off the face of the earth, and then God started all over again with Noah. And in that dispensation, in that period of time, God gave Noah some laws and commands to set up human government. That period lasted from Noah to Abraham. That's in your Bible, you know. So Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that's the perfect chapters in the Bible. That's a period in time that God dealing with Adam and Eve innocent. In chapter 3, man, of Genesis through chapter 8 of Genesis is God, man, dealing with mankind according to their conscience. Hey, listen, boy. From Genesis chapter 8, man, you know, God's begun, man, now a new world, a new order with Noah. And he gave Noah laws and to establish human government. That's the time, man, when you know in your Bible about Nimrod. And Nimrod began to gather the people together as one. And he began to be a mighty warrior. In other words, a leader, you know, like a king, you know, over the people. You know, he had power, control, and influence in the people's life there, you know. And Nimrod come together and influence the people. And Nimrod said this here, come and let us build us a city with a tower in it that will reach up to heaven. And let us make a name for ourselves so that we won't be scattered all over the earth. This will be our kingdom right here. This will be our domain. We're going to make our own Garden of Eden, you know, and we're going to provide salvation for ourselves. We're going to establish a deity, and, man, we're going to worship him and everything else. We're going to build up a tower in it, and we're going to provide salvation for ourselves. And God came down to see what they were doing, man, and God said, no, that's not my plan. My plan is for them to be fruitful and multiply and replant the whole earth. I don't want the whole earth to be filled with the glory of God. You know the story there. And they willfully, man, you know, came against the God was doing, and God confused their languages. And God confused their languages. They began, man, to spread abroad to different nations and everything else, different parts of the earth. And they became nations then and established, you know, cultures and societies then, you know. And in those different cultures and societies, man, you know, they began now to govern themselves. That's where human government began at. All the way up to the government that we have here today, we govern ourselves. We elect our leaders and everything else, you know. But that's where human government began at, because God said, hey, listen, in that time, if they go without any kind of government, can you imagine what it'd be like, boy, on one of those, man, if we didn't have no laws and a governing system, man, by which to govern us and to live by? If you didn't have no police, no officers, man, you know, you can just do anything you wanted to do. You know, if you didn't have no kind of government. So God said, why they separate from me, so I'm going to allow them to govern themselves. And they started that. And that happened, man, all the way up from Noah all the way up to the next place in your Bible. Is the next character that you read in your Bible is Abraham. And then, man, you know, in that dispensation, Abraham, that's in the Genesis, from Genesis chapter 8, and that all the way, man, in the Bible and tell, boy, the coming up of Moses. In that dispensation, boy, you know, God called, after he established human government on the earth, and they began to grow, and that lasted for about 430 years. What's God doing? God working down through time, this passing thing of time that you and I live in, man, and in this day and hour, and in this time that we live in, man, this interruption in eternity, he have different seasons in it, different moments, different appointed times in it, where, boy, he dealing with mankind in particular ways. And listen, man, whatever dispensation mankind find himself in, he has a responsibility. Because in every dispensation that God deal with mankind in, he got laws and covenants that he make with them. That's another lesson to learn from that. But I'm just trying to help you understand the times and the seasons, man, starting from the original time and season, from the Bible, from God, you know, in his way of doing things, in his seasons that he set up on the earth. So what, boy? So down through from Noah, man, then it came Abraham. God said, okay, I done set up human government on the earth now. Now I'm going to go down here, man. You know, they got all kind of pagan gods. They worshiping all kind of pagan gods, but they got some form of government. They governing themselves now. Some form of society. They can make it, you know, for a season, you know, without destroying themselves. And then, boy, God called and went into a place, man, called Abraham. That's the story that's in your Bible about Abraham. What happened, man? He called Abraham. He said, Abraham, come, man, and go with me to a place where I will show you a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where it can be productive in, man, a great land, and I will give it to you, and I will give it to your descendants, to your seed after you. And, well, you know the story. That's in the Bible. You know what? Now God is, he just set up human government. Now God makes some promises to a man called Abraham. Say, Abraham, I'm establishing a great nation. You're going to have a son, and your son going to, man, become a nation. And then that nation, man, going to be a blessing to all nations, Abraham. And I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, boy, for this nation, Abraham. And through your nation, Abraham, I'm going to be able to bless every nation, Abraham. I promise you. In other words, God gave a promise to Abraham. I'm going to take you to that place. What place? Hey, even though you're out here in the wilderness and on the human government and going through different cycles of time in the history of mankind, I promise you something. What? That what I told that devil, man, and what I told you, your forefather Adam and Eve, them, when they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God made a promise to Adam and Eve. He said, listen, man, I can't live with y'all no more. I can't live in y'all no more. And we can't walk and talk in the cool of day, and I got to put you out of the Garden of Eden. But I promise you something. What? I ain't never going to leave. I ain't never going to forsake you. Glory to God. Hey, I can't be in you no more, but I'm going to be around you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look, I told you, can't nothing stop what he done said and what he done started. Nobody can stop, man, what I started and what people started, but you can't stop, man, what God doing. Baby. What you talking about, Art? I'm talking about what he doing. What you talking about when you talking about he doing? That's the kingdom of God. The governing influence of God on the earth, what God is doing, and his way of doing what he's doing. Hallelujah. So, boy, he made a promise to the life of Abraham. That time he was dealing with Abraham, he made a promise, boy, to Abraham and said, listen, that same promise that I made to your forefather there, boy, I'm promising you, man. You're going to be this is a type and shadow of it. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be a good land. It's going to be for your children. I'm going to give it to you for an everlasting covenant for him. Remember God making a promise, boy, to a people, man, that said, hey, listen, what I promised your forefather Abraham, Adam, boy, that I was going to come then and redeem their life from this destruction. What I told that devil, that I was going to come myself in the form of a man and grind his head in the ground and take back his authority from him, man. Listen, I promise you this, man. Hey, that promise that I made to you, I'm going to fulfill this, man. I'm going to establish it through you and through your people and through your descendants and through your nation. And your nation going to become a kingdom of priests. Well, they're going to represent me to the world. Hey, listen, boy, listen. And you know the story of that. That's how the man God had, Abraham had Isaac and Jacob, Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and Jacob had 12 sons, you know, called 12 tribes of Israel. And God changed Jacob's name to Israel, you know. And what God doing? God fulfilling me in that promise. He's going to make you a great nation, man. And through your nation, man, I'm going to bless every nation. And through your nation, to that nation that come through you, man, that I'm going to build in you, going to come that seed. What seed? That I told that devil, man, that we're going to grind his head in the ground and restore back this original season that I set up on the earth for heaven on earth. That's why Cain killed Abel. Well, that's why, man, mankind was so bad. That's why I said earlier that they couldn't help but to do what they did, man. Why? Because, boy, there's an enemy. That's why I say I'll battle it against flesh and blood, man. We got an enemy, man, that we need to, we got to learn about, too, man. That enemy is the devil. And, man, I'm talking about he motivated and influenced them. What are you doing, boy? He's looking for that seed. Yeah, Lord, have mercy. That's why, boy, during the time, man, when the people were on the earth and the Son of God came down there and the giant was in the land, everything else, that's the devil trying to pollute, man, the human race. Why? He's looking for that seed. That's why mankind been killing one another ever since then, man. Why? That's the devil, man, trying to kill that righteous seed. Even, man, when the righteous seed comes to the knowledge of a man and gets saved and everything else, he still try to kill that righteous seed before he comes to the knowledge of his and understanding of his season and his time. So that you might know what season that you live in. Listen, you weren't living in the season, man, in the time when God was dealing with Adam in innocence. You weren't living in the time when God was dealing with, man, you know, the people after the fall, Cain and Abel. And it got so bad after that, man. You weren't living in that time. You weren't living in the time when Noah, after the flood of human government, when God established human government on earth. Nor were you living in the time, man, where God, in Abraham's time, when God made the promise to Abraham, boy, that he was going to fulfill everything that he said in Genesis chapter 1, man. They're going to be as he said. We weren't living in that time. And then, boy, after that time, man, you know, the children became a great nation, man, and went down into Egypt, man, and you know the story of them, man. You know, they became slaves there, and they stayed there 430 years. And then, man, God sent Moses down to Egypt, and, man, made Pharaoh let him go. And then when Pharaoh let him go, they came out into the wilderness, and God began to deal with them now according to law. He gave Moses the law. He ordered the Ten Commandments. He ordered all the other laws, the Levitical law, that the people ought to live by. Wow. That's the law and the prophets. You say, why? Because, boy, in all the midst of the way you live, here's how you live until, boy, that promised seed comes. Let me say it again. He gave Moses law. He said, hey, listen, man, I delivered you. I delivered you from the bondage of Satan and Pharaoh's, you know, and that world. See, listen, the children of Israel, just like the people of the world, you know, that's all God's people. And just like they was in bondage, man, to Pharaoh's, Pharaoh is the type of the devil. And just like they was in Egypt, Egypt is the type of this world system. Just like, man, because of Adam's disobedience, then, man, and the devil became the god of this world system that we live in on the earth today, good and evil. He's not the god of the earth. He's the god of this system that we live on. It's supposed to be on earth like it is in heaven, but this system of good and evil, the god of that world is the devil, not the earth, the arrangement that's governing this earth, the pattern of operation, the system. The god of that system, man, is the devil. He established this on the earth. What God established on the earth was kingdom, was heaven on earth, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. This is what we live in here now, is what the devil established. So Pharaoh's was a type of the devil. Egypt was a type of this world system. The children of Israel was a type of all mankind. And we were sold into slavery by Adam's disobedience. Under the hard taskmaster boy of a tyrant gone bad, the devil man and his wicked angels, man. Suffering, man, and all the calamity and everything that's going up on the earth, boy. But boy, God came and delivered them. Out of that. Why? Because God on his way to fulfilling his hey, listen, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's steady progressing toward the fulfillment, man, of his original intent in life. Hey, listen, you know why God created time? And there's just a seed out there. He created time, man, to fulfill his purpose. They're going to require some water on it, But that's the purpose for time. God had a purpose in mind, even when he made time. And thank God he made time. What did that good boy, Adam and Eve, would have ate off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man, when they was living in eternity? Then they'd have been separated from God forever. So God created time. So in that time, boy, he can complete, man, that time has an end to it. And listen, every season has an end to it. It has a beginning time, a date, and it has an ending date. Just like time, it has an end to it, too. The Bible says in Revelation, boy, one day, boy, there ain't going to be no more sky, no more, there ain't going to be no more day, no more night, boy, time going to stand still. We're going to be in eternity then. That's another period in time that we haven't gotten to yet. Well, we're living in the dispensation of the law. I mean, then the law came. That's when God delivered them, gave them the law and everything else. And, boy, then the Bible say in the fullness of time. That's where, boy, my time is running out. That's when, man, you know, this season that we just got to came through now. What? Christmas season. The Bible say in the fullness of time. The fulfillment of that promise that God had told, boy, that devil about, and the promise that he had made to Adam and Eve that he was going to redeem their life and destruction, and the promise that he made to that devil that he was going to come to this earth himself in the fullness of time, what? In the appointed time, at the right time. Hey, listen, and that season, boy, God came himself. That's what you just got to celebrate, man. You know, you call it Christmas. But because of a lack of understanding of the time and season, what was taking place? What was God doing, man? God was fulfilling his promise. Well, he come to redeem mankind from that destruction. And watch this here. And restore back that original season. Hallelujah. To do what on? To restore the original season back. What was the original season? Lord, the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what mankind lost. His kingship, his territory, the earth, his authority over, his kingship, his ability, his control, his influence. That's what we lost. We lost our righteousness. We lost our identity. We lost our sovereignty. That's complete rule over every circumstance, situation, and something that might confront our lives. We lost our potential. We don't know, boy, we don't know the potential that we have on the inside of us. We lost our kingship. We lost, man, you know, the kingdom of heaven. We lost heaven on earth. We lost, boy, you know, the Holy Spirit. Well, we lost a lot of things in Adam. Listen, all the things that we lost, that ain't nothing there because of nothing that we done. All the bad and all the sin that happened in our life, that's a result of what we lost. That's why, boy, you know, the Bible said that and God gave the law to Moses, but, boy, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. You know, this is what John wants to say. In the beginning was the word. What? I tell you, boy, that's the, that, listen, boy, that's the royal, that, listen, that's the primary law of the kingdom. That's the law of life. That's the word of God. What do you say in the beginning was the word? In him was life. And the life was the light of man. All things was made by him. Who? The word. And without him was not anything made that was made. We done, my boy, the word. What the king say? He came to his own, and his own received him not. They didn't understand, boy, listen, because they didn't understand the season and the time, because they didn't understand what this season that we really been going through. We done celebrated, man, from a pagan point of view and from the worldly point of view, man, you know. And listen, boy, we go to church on Sunday mornings, man, on Christmas Day, boy, listen. And, boy, I'm talking about, boy, we singing Christmas songs and Christmas hymns and everything else. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth rejoice. And boy, we sang the mother song, "Oh, come all ye faithful," boy. We sang all that on Christmas Day and everything else. We get our praise on and everything else, boy. But let me tell you something, man. Because of a lack of understanding at the time, Well, while you're in church and celebrating, man, the birth of Jesus Christ, man, you know, you have to come on out of church, and after church, boy, you still go start getting ready for the other celebration, the Christmas celebration, the party that starts at 10 o'clock. In the Christmas service, you were saying, oh, come all ye faithful, and joy to the world, the Lord has come. And boy, Christmas night at the party, you saying, Merry Christmas, baby. So it's a different thing. They want to talk about more different of the season, not understanding the season. They ain't talking about baby Jesus either. I'm talking about, man, a lack of understanding of the season and the time. You need to know, man, what season you live in. The season and the dispensation that you live in, the period in time that God is dealing with mankind, that you and I live in, you live in the dispensation of the grace of God. What's that, boy? That's the favor of God, boy, upon our life. That's the love of God, boy. Listen, let me tell you. And the word, boy, all things was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He came to his own, and his own received him now. A lot of people reject it. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. And then, boy, and a few boys later say, for the law came by Moses. First he said this, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. We're going to bring the truth back and the grace and the truth back, boy. And the Bible say this, and of his fullness have we all received. So, boy, what he did, boy, he started another season. What's that, boy? That's the season, man, of the redeemed. That's a time in history, man, where God is not imputing man trespasses against him. The penalty for sin has been made. God love us so much. Hey, listen, my time is about us, but we're going to finish this because we're going to continue this next season. The good news is this. In this season that God has, that you are in right now, the great season that you're in right now, because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that was 2,000 years ago, boy, God wants you to know the understanding of the season. What season, boy? The time that he's dealing with you in. Boy, that you can come all the way back, man, like I told you, into the presence of the Most High God. That your sins are washed white as snow for that purpose. So that you can come back into, boy, what was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and come back into the presence of the Lord and begin to live your life from there. Let me tell you something. From there, you stop trying to get what you already have. You start having what's already yours. See, out here in the wilderness, we're trying to get what's already ours. In the presence of the Lord, in the kingdom of God, back in that secret place, back in the season that God originally started, you just start having what's already ours. It's a whole different way of living. Hey, listen, my time is up. I love y'all with the love of the Lord, and we're going to continue this, boy. This is the gospel of the kingdom, you know, and the good news is, boy, that kingdom is available to us right now. That place is available to us right now. The middle wall of partition has been torn down in the kingdom of heaven. Is within our reach. Where is it at, Arthur? It's on the inside of us. That's where it begins at. In your heart. In you. Not so much as on the earth first, but in you. In your mind, in your spirit. That through the knowledge, through the understanding of the time and the season. What time is this? This is the time, boy, to come on into the kingdom of God, man, and go from there. Come on into the presence of the Lord and go from there. Amen. Hey, listen, God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. I look forward to continuing this series, man, of understanding the season and the time so that as we go into 2024, it'll be the best year of our lives. Hey, listen, if we can be of any help or get these messages to you, you can contact us at 713-870-3776. God bless you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
This is Pastor Arthur LeVay. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship and Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.